You know what I mean? I mean, I love life, man. You know what I mean? Life is beautiful. It's just the shit in it that's fucked up. It's rough, but it's fair. But it's fair. People gotta go out there and bust they ass for a job. I mean, my dad got 5 kids, man. And I mean, you know, he hates driving a bus, but he loves 5 kids. You feel me?
I'm a rhyme artist. Out here trying to grind my hardest. Up early so to milk the cow. Keep my John Deere out here plowing the fields to keep my John Hancock's worth up in the now. Went from hanging on.
We're recording.
Nice.
Say stuff.
Stuff.
Okay, here we go. You are listening to 101.9 CITR Radio, coming to you from UBC campus on unceded Musqueam territory. This is the Thunderbird Locker Room, giving you a backroom perspective on varsity athletes, coaches, and staff here at UBC. Today we have on Joe Antilla. He's a fifth-year kinesiology student, a UBC varsity hockey player, and he also used to play in the WHL. What team did you play for?
For the Kootenai Ice.
So, WHL, that's a pretty big deal. So I'm assuming you're trying to go to the show when you're younger. That was the goal?
Jeez, yeah. I guess that's when you're 16 years old and you get entered in a league like that, yeah, the only thing you can dream of is...
Is that when the draft is, when you're 16?
Well, no. You get drafted at 18 into the, like, from the Western Hockey League or whatever league you're in to the NHL at 18, but you get drafted at 15 into the... Or no, 14 into the Western Hockey League, and then you kind of... Like things, that's kind of the ball rolling, you know,
right.
Like that's, you know, you're kind of in the next step of hopefully making it into a professional hockey.
What club did you play at when you were younger and where was it? Where are you from?
I'm actually from Madeira Park, which is a little
hop,
skip, and a ferry ride away.
Is that on the island somewhere?
It's not the island, but...
A island.
Well, like it's the connection between Vancouver and Powell River. There's a long road. You got to take 2 ferries from here to Powell River, but in between that section is called the Sunshine Coast.
So was there a club up there?
Yes. Sunshine Coast Minor Hockey is where I grew up playing hockey, but when I was 13, I left Madeira Park to go play hockey in Saskatchewan, and I went to a private school called Notre Dame.
Was that like a sports priority school? Like,
so
most kids there were there for sports?
Yeah, 100%. It's
just
a
hockey?
Huge hockey school.
Oh, okay.
Like big time in Saskatchewan, Wilcox, Saskatchewan. And a lot of big names, like, I don't know, Vincent LeCavalier went through there, Brad Richards, Jaden Schwartz, I played with actually, which is pretty cool.
And yeah, I don't know who
among
that is.
Many, many different players.
Who's
yeah.
Jaden Schwartz?
He's a St. Louis Blue right now.
What position is he?
I think he's a left winger, actually.
Is he a good dude?
No, he was great.
He's all right?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. It was pretty cool. Like, his family had a house at Notre Dame, so we were able to go hang out at his place. His dads would sharpen our skates, and they had, like, a nice little, like, backyard rink and stuff, and we'd hang out on it. It was kind of a nice little getaway from, like, living in the dorm life in Notre Dame. It was awesome.
I guess, yeah, you would have had to leave home and...
Yeah.
Was that? What was that like?
Oh, I was at Notre Dame for 3 years, and the first year for sure was quite tough on me. I was pretty lucky. My oldest brother came with me to Notre Dame.
Right.
And so I did have like a family member with me to, let's say, help me through it.
Yeah.
Because it was quite tough at 13, and my older brother was a lot more mature than I was at the time.
Moving away from home.
Yeah, it was an interesting experience. The food there was not so good. The weather there was...
At a private school?
It's just... Well, there's like, 600 students that go there, student-athletes that go there, and it's just... They just pump you through like a... I don't know.
Have you been to Shawnigan before?
Nice.
Shawnigan Lake?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my goodness. It's like going to Hogwarts without magic.
Really?
It costs 60 grand a year to go to that school.
Okay.
And they do all the Canada rugby camps there. The spread they have, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, is immaculate. It's beautiful.
Well, I'm assuming you've never played rugby in the middle of January in Saskatchewan, but...
No.
Yeah, so...
I'm just saying, usually, like, the only private school that I've actually been to has been the best food.
Yeah, this is, let's just say,
Saskatchewan's a step down from that.
Well, Let's just say a poor man's private school, I guess.
It wasn't 60 grand to go there?
They weren't focused so much on the nutrition, more on the hockey. Let's go with.
Okay. Did you play any other sports?
Jeez, yeah. When I was really young, I played soccer and hockey at the same time. But when I went to Notre Dame, they had a football program. And then you'd play football for a month, month and a bit. And then the hockey would kick off and you'd play hockey for, seemed like forever, thankfully.
So you'd play both.
And then I would play rugby at the end of the season. So I ended up playing three different sports all in 1 year, which is one thing I really, really enjoyed about Notre Dame, which kind of helped me keep my mind off of missing home. And
yeah, a lot of those hockey schools, they'll just dry land in the off season and play. But there's lots of studies that say that multi-sport athletes when they're younger, who take longer to specialize, do better later on, right?
A lot of coaches, if anyone knows who Brent Sutter is, he's the coach of the Red Deer Rebels right now. He really is pushing that forward. He wants to, like, kids growing up to stop just playing hockey.
You want to do other
play
things.
As many things as you possibly can, because if you can get you get a better overall athlete.
Yeah,
from right. playing so many
they can
sports,
do more
right?
things, right? Didn't Gretzky play lacrosse? I played lacrosse.
I don't know the answer. To that
I think
question.
He did.
That's a tough one.
I think he played lacrosse.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Lacrosse is good transfer because hand-eye sure. coordination. You're almost doing the same thing when you're shooting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the checking is like the contact's almost the same, right?
Yeah. Somebody's sticking you in the teeth again. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's about the same.
Did you wrestle? Did they do wrestling in high school?
Not at Notre Dame. I don't remember doing any wrestling.
Oh, okay. Because wrestling's a big one for rugby.
Okay.
It transfers out because there's lots of wrestling in rugby, right? That's the one that I got told to do for rugby, so I signed up. Did it for 2 years. It helped quite a bit, actually.
Nice.
And the fitness is insane.
For hockey, they tell you to do figure skating.
What?
So imagine starting out instead of, well, you think about it, you become more of a fluid skater. So starting out, they tell you you should do figure skating before you, like, during your kind of beginning stages of hockey. I never did it, but a lot of people that did do it are, I feel, better skaters.
You think so? It seems it'd be hard to get a little boy to sign up for figure skating.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's part of the reason why I didn't do it, right? Like, my parents.
You should
asked.
Do it.
Yeah, and I was just like, I'd rather just play hockey.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
That would be, it'd be kind of embarrassing. No doubt you get made fun of.
Well, no, not if you, I had friends when I was growing up and that played Sunshine Coast Minor with. They did the figure skating. It was just, everyone did it specifically to get better at skating.
Oh, okay.
That was the point of it, right? Like, you weren't, no, I'm not in it to be able to do triple axles and all that kind of stuff. No,
triple sow cow?
Yeah. Nobody knows. Yeah, anyways. No, you did it to kind of develop your skating abilities, I feel.
So I taught myself how to skate because I was in daycare when I was younger. And they'd take us to the rink like every Tuesday. And I got so good, but I never played hockey because it was so fucking expensive. I was like, Mom, let me play. She's like, how much are the pads? Oh, no, you're playing soccer.
Yeah, exactly.
So the goalies, they have to pay tons of money, right? Like, what is it, 10 grand for a pair of pads, a set of pads?
Yeah, it's quite expensive.
That's insane.
I couldn't be a goalie, so.
Imagine being one of those parents. Why couldn't you be a goalie?
Well, when I played Sunshine Coast Minor, they used to sign us up, like, every couple games you would have to play goaltender.
Yeah.
And I would just skate around the net the whole time because I was so bored. Like, all you do is sit in the net the whole time, and then I don't know why, but when people would shoot on me, I wouldn't like face them directly with all the pads. I would turn around because I didn't want to get, for some reason,
get
see getting shot or whatever.
Really?
Anyways, my parents, right away, everyone's like, yeah, this kid should not be in net. And
they just stopped
so
putting you in there.
I did it like twice one season, and after that, I didn't have to go again.
They
knew right away.
They
no,
just weed you out?
Yeah, this guy can stay on the ice.
Yeah, I played goalie in soccer till grade 10. And then I was like, yeah, I'm not getting any taller. This is not going to work out.
Sorry, I'm not 6'6".
Yeah, I think I better stop trying to catch balls with my hands. Good bit of information there. We'll get back with Joe Antilla on the Thunderbird Locker Room after this quick break, and we'll talk about things other than hockey.
Hey there.
Barev.
We're the Armenian Students Association, and we're here to bring together everyone,
Armenians and non-Armenians,
who are interested in learning about the Armenian culture here at UBC.
Find us on Facebook at ASAUBC to stay up to date. We look forward to seeing you at our future events.
You're listening to 101.9 CITR Radio, coming to you from UBC. This is the Thunderbird Locker Room. The guest today is Joe Antilla of UBC Hockey. Okay, moving on. So, new Harry Potter's out. I mentioned Hogwarts earlier. Ooh. Are you a Harry Potter fan?
Huge Harry Potter fan.
Did you crush those books when you were younger?
Can't say I was too good of a reader. That's probably...
not a big reader?
Probably, yeah.
Joe wasn't a big reader when he was younger?
No, I was, again, more sporting things were on my mind. But no, I watched every movie.
I
pretty much cried when the last one came out. I was sitting in the theater with tears in my eyes. Like, I grew up with Daniel Radcliffe and the crew, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we're literally the same. Well, I'm the same age as those guys.
Yeah.
So it's hard not to love those guys.
The books are 10 times better than the movies.
Yeah.
So much more in depth. They don't miss everything.
Yeah.
You know? So the first book, we read it in grade 5, I think. And then we were going to go watch the movie because the movie came out. And for some reason, I couldn't imagine what this world looked like. It was so weird. Like, I'm reading the book. I'm like, I have no idea how this works. You know, usually when you're a kid, you have a great imagination. You're like, oh, there's dragons. And I had no idea what was going on. And then we go to see the movie and it was like, oh, so I read the book again and loved it and then finished all of them.
Oh, that's awesome.
We were in Australia when Order of the Phoenix came out, and I read it in 3 days. I was like 12.
That's amazing. I don't think I can read that well still from university.
Well, I had a lot of time because we were just driving like across the desert.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So what other books did you read when you were younger? Or I guess if you weren't a big reader, you didn't do much.
Like, I do commercial fishing in the summer, so there's a lot of downtime at the end of the day. And I got into, like, The Da Vinci Code and what else did I read? Angels and Demons.
Oh, yeah.
And Inferno just came out.
Yeah.
I just watched the movie, and I did the same thing for those two books. I watched the movies first and then read the books because it's nice to kind of be able to put in context the characters and what's going
on. Like I did when I was 5 years old in grade 5.
And then read the book.
Yeah.
And then I'm able to like kind of, follow along. This is what actually was happening. And just kind of create the story around what's already, the movie's done for me.
I read The Da Vinci Code. I had the big one where it had the paintings in it.
Oh, okay.
So when they're talking about the paintings, you actually knew which painting it was talking about. Because I didn't know what the Last Dinner painting and all these other paintings. I didn't know what they actually looked like, right?
For sure. I think I don't know if they were all, like, super accurate because they talk about whatever the V thing. Who knows how much of that stuff was, like,
I'm
true,
pretty sure he's been, that the guy who wrote those has been just absolutely decimated by the actual scholars of that work.
For sure.
They probably hate him.
Oh.
I honestly love those like silly, just forget the world kind of movies, like the new Jurassic Park one.
Oh, God.
Where it's just so ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
People getting munched by dinosaurs, but it's still,
I have a recurring nightmare of being eaten by a T-Rex, so it's the worst.
A recurring nightmare? I haven't had one of those since I was really young.
Had it for at least 10 years, and I've prepared myself
10 years.
Numerous times to come up with better ideas of how to, like, eliminate this T-Rex. Because I had a tree fort on our farm that we made and stuff like that. And I'd have this nightmare. It'd be dark, windy, foggy, everything you can think of. Just a bad night.
Just the worst night ever.
This T-Rex would rip the roof off and then just eat me, right?
Oh,
so it was like Inception where I was like, or Matrix where I'm like, okay, I need to dream up like a rocket launcher or some machine gun.
To try
to keep this thing away from me, but I would always die every time. And it was just like,
did you ever?
Isn't getting any better.
Yeah, I had one. It was very scary. Like my mom would die in it. She got hit by a car, and it was recurring.
Ooh,
it was the worst.
That's
so,
tough.
And two bad things would happen. She would get hit by a car, and I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, this is horrible. And then at the end of it, I would be falling off a cliff and then wake up.
Oh,
those are terrifying.
Falling's the worst feeling while sleeping.
Have you ever had, like, a Inception dream, like a dream within a dream?
Probably, but I can't remember.
I had one. I have to tell you about it. I was...
Oh, here we go.
Okay, so I was dreaming. I was in a van with, like, all these famous rugby players, like Jonah Lomu and Dan Carter's in the back.
Couple
and,
All Blacks?
Yeah, they're all Blacks. Richie McCaw in the back.
Yeah.
And there was, like, a big volcano that went off in the distance because we're in New Zealand. I'm guessing it's because in New Zealand, right, there's lots of volcanoes.
Yeah.
Lots of fault lines. And it went off, and one of the rocks comes and hits the Jeep we're in and kills us.
Yeah.
And then I woke up, and I was in, like, a mummy position falling into lava. So I died, woke up. I was like, oh. So I woke up, and I was like, oh, this is it. Like, I'm actually dying now because I've already woken up. And then I fell into the lava and woke up again on the couch in that mummy position, shaking, sweating.
Oh, God.
Oh, thank God I'm still alive.
Oh, that's awful.
It was brutal. Have you ever dabbled in that, like, mystical stuff, like analyzing dreams and shit like that?
Oh, jeez. No. No.
None of that?
No.
You're not,
straight
you're not spiritual? Spiritual?
I don't even watch scary movies.
You're not spiritual?
Yeah. Exactly.
You don't talk
well,
about...
I would... By spiritual, I went to church for the first 13 years of my life, but that's,
oh, really?
That's about it.
Are you a non-believer now?
No, I'm a believer. I just don't go to church anymore.
You just don't go to church
I just don't have time. Sundays are hockey days now.
Well, you're going to hell, Joe.
I go to the church of
Sundays
the hockey rink.
The church of the rink. When we play lacrosse, we used to pray to the lacrosse gods at home every time we won.
Jeez.
We'd circle around the crease, and, like, one of the boys would say a prayer, and everyone thought we were actually praying.
That's awesome.
So what church did you go to? Was it, like, just a straight, pretty standard Catholic church?
Well,
Catholic?
No, Christian.
Christian.
I don't even know what the... It's been so long ago. I was so young.
But you still believe?
Well, I think there's something else, I guess. I don't know. There's...
You're just not sure, but you think there is something out there.
You watch The Big Bang Theory, and you question yourself every once in a while. But other than that, no.
Well, not the show. The Big Bang Theory, the show.
Oh yeah,
really?
They disprove it every day.
Oh, do they?
No, they just those guys are the best.
Do you watch that show?
Of course.
I hate that show. It's not funny. Have you ever watched it? Not. Without the clapping added in?
No.
Oh, dude, it'll ruin the show for you.
Oh,
I'm going to put it on.
No, please don't show me.
I have to. I have to show you this. It's so bad. Joe Rogan played it on his podcast, and it was actually devastating. Like,
Joe Rogan's ruining everyone for everybody.
It ruins it.
He ruined Kim Kardashian for me.
What do you mean? What?
Have you heard the stand-up where he does the business proposition of Kim Kardashian?
No, what's that?
Oh, God. Okay, well, you gotta pull that up. Don't pull up the
I'm
big
I'm pulling it up. Oh, here it is, right here. Look, it's one of the options that pops up. It's so
top,
bad.
Top five.
Ah, nothing makes beer taste better than cool, clear Rocky Mountain spring water.
No.
Where are the Rocky Mountains anyway?
Philadelphia.
Why are you laughing?
Think about it, Raj. Where did the movie Rocky take place?
Oh, my God.
How bad is this?
Okay, now I get it.
Okay.
I think one of the reasons it's bad, though, is because their timing is for the laugh track.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
So, like, they do the big pause, but if it was actually running through, I think it would be better. Okay, what is this Rogan thing?
Well, Joe Rogan does a stand-up comedy. Just type in Kim Kardashian. Joe Rogan, Kim Kardashian.
Kim K, baby. That ass, though.
Oh, right, yeah, because he's talking about if the aliens came down.
Oh, it's 3.5 minutes. We can't listen to that whole thing.
Well, we don't have to listen to that whole thing.
Like, if aliens came down here and we had to explain human culture, what would be the most confusing thing to explain? Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with her. She seems like a reasonable, nice person. She doesn't seem mean. I got no problem with her. But if you had to explain why she's the most famous woman on the planet, it would be a little difficult.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's very true. There's a lot of people like that, though.
Oh.
Like, they're just famous for being famous.
Yeah.
Or for sucking some huge black dude's dick. That's what she did. That's how she got famous.
No, I know. Tonight you'll watch the rest of that video.
Yeah, I'm probably going to watch that.
He goes into it.
Oh, man. I mean.
Well, yeah, she made freaking like millions and millions, who knows, even billions of dollars just from a video.
Yeah. Like,
now that she's famous, that fame has brought her incredible money.
I honestly don't even know, like, what she did before that.
No.
Nothing.
Aside from
or her. Even her family. I didn't even know her family before that. I didn't know Bruce Jenner or Caitlyn Jenner was.
Well,
or
any you don't know who her dad is?
I know her dad or mom. Excuse me, mother. We're at UBC. This is a university.
I'm assuming you know O.J. Simpson?
Yeah.
So his dad was one of the lawyers on the O.J. Simpson case. That's the fame
that family. Her dad was?
Yeah, Rob Kardashian. And then he died shortly after of cancer.
Mom married Bruce Jenner.
Yes.
Who's now Caitlyn Jenner.
Sure. Whatever that, yeah.
Okay. Whatever's going on there.
Yeah.
Okay. So their own. Rob, he was a lawyer for
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson. For O.J. Simpson or prosecutor?
For O.J. Simpson. He was part of that case.
The glove does not fit.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they still got him. So
that works pretty good.
They still got OJ. That's what. Hey, do you guys do court sessions for your hockey at the end of the year?
Like kangaroo court?
Yeah, like kangaroo.
We don't do it at the end of the year, but I have been a part of. Okay. Yes.
I was defending one of the boys, and I was screaming, "The glove does not fit. The glove does not fit," and he got off.
That's awesome.
That got crazy. Like I know we weren't like conscious while it was happening. Or, like, able to process what was happening. But that was huge.
Oh, yeah.
One court case.
It's funny.
There were, like white people fighting black people in bars over O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It is incredible, actually, yeah.
Like, was that in the 80s?
No, I think it was early 90s,
wasn't
it?
Early 90s?
Yeah, I'll research that.
Honestly, all I have to put in is O.J. and it'll come up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
It's got his own. The whole case has its own Wikipedia page. That's insane.
Yeah.
1994.
Okay. So I was 3.
Yeah, I was 2. It's been described as the most publicized criminal case trial in American history.
Mm.
It's like, what's that new one that's on Netflix? Making a Murder. It's like that, but even bigger.
Well, no, didn't they just release a show of the O.J. Simpson? They have a show now.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
He looks nothing like O.J. How does that guy still work? He lives, you know, he's got a place in B.C.?
Really?
Like up Sunside Coast area.
Oh, cool.
What? Snow Dogs. The death of his career. That wasn't a bad movie. I don't know why.
I like Cuba. He's a good hockey player, too. He goes and skates with the L.A. Kings every once in a while.
Really?
Well, I've seen there's like a celebrity hockey game, and he's always out there.
That's probably because he lives in Van, right?
Yeah.
He probably gets some skating in.
He's got some street cred in on the streets of
Vancouver. Oh, he's born in the Bronx, too. What a gangster.
He still plays puck? That's amazing.
Let's see his movies, because I honestly the only movie I know him for is Snow Dogs, which is the one that killed him, that killed his career, right?
Wasn't he? Boys
in the Hood, right? Of course, yeah.
He was in like a Pearl Harbor.
He was in Gladiator.
Okay,
what?
There's no way he's probably hidden somewhere.
Oh no, it's a different Gladiator. It's not the Gladiator. This
1992
is a
1992 film.
This is a different. Oh, it's Gladiator. What? Oh, it's a TV series.
Oh, awful.
God, that's a... Yeah. Jerry Maguire. That was a huge movie when it came out.
Yeah.
Few Good Men, that was also huge. As good as it gets was huge.
Yeah,
he was
Pearl
in
Harbor.
Some big
Pearl
movies.
Harbor. That's what I thought.
He's
in Pearl
Harbor.
Harbor. Yeah.
He was in some big movies before that. He was in... Oh, Zoolander. He went from Zoolander to Snow Dogs, and then it just...
Tank.
You can see it right there at Snow Dogs. It's all these random movies afterwards.
That's tough.
Daddy Day Camp. That's like is that a spinoff of Daddy Daycare?
I don't know. Who's on there?
Remember Daddy Daycare with Eddie Murphy? I think they did one with Cuba Gooding Jr. Oh, that sucks.
Hey, man. You got to pay the bills sometimes.
That is a rough lineup. Like, I don't know any of these songs. Or movies.
Yeah.
There it is right there. Direct to DVD, direct to DVD, direct to DVD, direct to DVD. cameo direct to DVD.
That's tough.
Oh no. Oh, he got. Oh no, that one got nominated. The Butler.
Maybe he'll make a return. Who knows? Sometimes they get
after that OJ.
Sometimes you get a little older, and sometimes. Yeah,
the
exactly.
Roles, the roles start coming back.
Yeah, I think
it's supposed to be really good.
Yeah,
right?
I think he's won awards. Question:
did he win an award for that,
or he might win awards? I don't know. Either way, Cuba's making his rounds. He's gonna be back.
American Crime Story.
Jeez,
it got 8.5 out of 10 on IMDb.
What does that even mean?
That means it's good.
Yeah, but like, there's so many movies out there that I'll look at these things and they'll be like Rotten Tomatoes. 4 stars out of 10, and yeah. I'll go watch the movie, and I think it's the best movie ever. And like it's just those, like, it's so frustrating.
Those like Angel and the Demons probably got like a 3.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you love it.
Nothing worse than that.
Let's see how much it got here.
Oh no.
What did it get? 6.5. I would probably give it like an 8.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
Yeah. Let's look up Inferno.
6.4.
Yeah, about the same. But I thought it was good, too. I had a great time. I went with my mom.
I hate going to movies with my mom.
Why?
Because she always starts crying and stuff at, like, the slightest.
She
get
all
like,
emotional?
Yeah. I can't remember the last movie we went to, but there was, like, a scene where, let's just say, like, The Bucket List or something, and she's just bawling.
Well, yeah, if you go to a movie like that.
That's true.
You take it to Star Trek. Yeah. I went to see Star Trek with my mom. She loved it.
Yeah,
she
was
crying. Like, that movie was awesome.
That was really good.
Okay, let's get off movies. Did you watch the last UFC?
No, I don't watch UFC.
You don't watch the case. We won't talk about that.
I have watched UFC, but I'm just, yeah, it's like, it's not like I play basketball where there's no fighting in the game. Like, hockey players fight, and I get enough of
it. You already get enough fighting?
Yeah, like, I don't, it's whatever. So a guy can roundhouse kick another guy and knock him out. Like,
that's pretty spectacular, though.
That is, but it's, I don't know. It's.
You've seen fights in high school?
No, I don't know. I'm not the biggest UFC fan.
Did you fight in high school at all? Did you get in any fights?
No.
None?
No, not
you
at all.
You saw some, though, I'm sure.
Well, obviously in the Western Hockey League, I got in a few fights.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But none, like, on the schoolyard?
No, I wasn't one of those.
You weren't a delinquent?
Well, like.
You played hockey, right? So you're just not into that.
Well, I went to in Pender Harbor. We had our high school was 120 kids from grade 7 to 12.
Right.
So I literally had 20 people in my class. So if it's hard to get in a fight with the only 5 friends that you can have.
Yeah, that's true. Like, yeah,
I'm stuck with these 5 for the next 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, and half the class is girls. So
yeah, exactly. So
when I was in grade 8, there was a girl fight at school. So end of the school, it was planned. It was at the Duck Pond in North Van. The Duck Pond.
Yeah, see, you're from the city. This is.
Yeah.
I'm from a small. I'm from the Hicks.
My
man.
School was like 2,000 people. And at the end of the day, everyone just left, like right away. Everyone's gone. No one's going to practice. All the practice. And all the TAs are like, where's everybody going? Like, oh, just going home. Everyone leaving the same doors. Like,
oh, no.
Usually people just spread out all the exits. Everyone's going out the same exit, walking the same way. They're all asking, like, what's going on? What's happening? What's happening? And we get to the Duck Pond, and it's like just a big circle, a high school fight. And these two girls are just going at it. Pulling each other's hairs, pulling pants, like, screaming and slapping each other. Oh. And this one kid throws, like, a lead pipe in the middle of the circle.
Oh, man.
Like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Chairs and ladder match? Or
yeah,
what?
Pull the lead pipe back out. Like, someone's going to die.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, like, there was only 3 black kids that went to my school. Me, another guy in my grade, and then this giant black guy in grade 12. Dark as anything.
Okay.
Dark as the night. Pitch dark black. And he was the coolest dude ever.
Yeah.
So in the middle of the fight, everyone's screaming. The girls are, like, beating the crap out of each other. He, like, steps into the middle, and everything just goes dead silent. Like, just.
Everyone needs to listen.
Right? And he just stands there for about 3 seconds, and he goes, they call the cops. Everyone get out of here. Everyone just pauses for a second, and then gone.
Oh,
everyone
just
splits. Everyone runs.
Oh, man.
Even all these girls are all beat up. Like, all the cop cars, everyone's like, everyone for themselves.
Jeez, I feel like it's Fast and Furious in Vancouver.
North Van used to be super rough. Okay. But then all the house prices went up, right?
Yeah, I know.
But there's still some... I mean, with that many kids... And there's, like, four schools that are that side of North Van. So there's going to be fights, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, we...
Well, when you're the Paul Walker of your North Van school, everyone's going to want to fight you.
The Paul Walker? I didn't fight anybody. I'm definitely not a Paul Walker. That guy's way too pretty. They had... Oh, we had another one where... This kid, he was sort of my friend. He played on the rugby team, but not really. Like, I just knew him.
Okay.
And this other guy, we went to a different field. And so we got there early. So it was a group of about 30 of us, like, warming him up and, like, shaking his shoulders out and stuff.
Oh,
like, he's shirt off already, sweating everything. And the other guy comes around the corner. He's got maybe two backing him up. He's got no backup.
Oh.
Comes around the corner, and as soon as this guy sees him step on the field, he just gone, taken off, sprint, didn't say anything. Everyone's like, where's he going? Oh, the guy. And he's running, and the first thing he did was jump in the air, foot out, and Superman punch at the same time. He kicked him and punched him at the same time.
Oh,
like, knocked him over. We had to get there and pick the guy up so they could start fighting again, because he just did. Like, it was so ridiculous. Those are the good old days.
The good old days, back when hazing was okay and bullying was not frowned upon.
Yeah, bullying was encouraged.
Yeah.
I got bullied a little bit.
Everyone gets bullied. At one point, you're way younger than everybody else, and this is the way it goes.
That's true.
At Notre Dame, it was kind of... it was almost encouraged as, like, part of the way it was at Notre Dame.
Encouraged.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
the bullying.
Well, just like, I don't know. The school was based on bringing delinquents into that place
and
turning them into functional members of society.
Oh, really?
It did a really good job of it, right?
Yeah.
Like, how it would work is that when they started out, they'd had like these tiny little shacks, and they would have like a grade 12 student, a grade 10 student, a grade 9 and grade 8 student. The two grade 8 and 9 students would be these delinquents.
Yeah.
That obviously weren't very good people, let's just say.
Right.
And then the grade 12s and 11 ones would make them go out in the middle of winter, get firewood to keep their little hut warm and, like, just, like, keep them in line, right? So by the time they got to grade 12, like, they were, I don't know, it seemed to work for a lot of those people.
Yeah. That's like, what is that famous type of schooling they have in the States?
Famous type of school in the States. That does not work whatsoever.
No, it's like a famous, it's super posh, and you have to, like, do interviews in kindergarten to get into it and stuff like that.
Oh, my word.
Super fancy school.
Tell me that's not a thing,
USA.
Please. I believe you, though. When you go down the States, you kind of, you see some things that you never, ever thought you'd see in your lifetime. But
mega churches.
Ooh.
You ever seen one of those things?
Yeah, it's stadiums, man. They take the ice out of our rinks and bring the church people in. Like, I believe, like...
Basketball games, like, cover up the ice?
Yeah, man. It's brutal.
That's insane.
Like, you're getting rid of the church or the ice surface? Don't be doing that.
Those crazy preacher mans screaming into the mic. I'm going to look up, like, a mega church video.
Whoa! Holy cow.
In the United States of America, the Christian religion is still very popular.
Did you see that? Who is this nerd?
Holy cow.
I don't want that nerd on my show.
Yeah, keep that.
I just want to see what do they call it, a sermon? Mega church sermon.
Jesus.
Bishop T.D. Jakes.
Holy.
Whoa.
This is like selling out the freaking...
I'm going to the Word of God.
The Yankee Stadium. How many
do you know how
many people they get in there? Like 120,000 or something?
Yeah.
Like
you know how much money these guys fleece from?
Oh, man.
Did you see that guy that...
Have you ever been to Okotoks?
No.
You go... Okotoks. So we used to drive through there.
What's Okotoks?
When I played for the Kootenai Ice, we used to drive through there to play like the Hitmen and stuff like that in Calgary. But we'd drive by the church, and there'd be a Ferrari parked out front.
And it's the preacher.
And everyone knew it was the preacher's because he was making unbelievable money and driving the red Ferrari.
Look at this story. It's on CNN. Criflo Dollar. That's his name. Let's just start off with that.
Oh, no.
Is hoping a few folks will see fit to bless him. The minister is known for being prosperity preacher at his Atlanta area World Chargers Church International. He's seeking 200 people to commit $300 to achieve his goal of buying a G650 airplane. He needs $60 million so that he can spread the word of God from his Gulfstream G650 private jet.
Oh, man. Why doesn't he just contact Yeezus or something like that? Jay-Z's probably got two of them kicking around. Like, get one of his planes.
I mean, this is straight up. He's just stealing from these people.
Oh, yeah.
This is a scam.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't a religion.
That's awful.
This is a scam. A jet? Use the internet. Go on YouTube. What do you need a jet for?
Yeah, but...
You're a preacher.
Yeah. Well, not everybody has the internet, though, right? Go over to Africa, do you think...
You need to fly...
Yeah, okay, yeah. Mm. Maybe use that money for something a little bit more helpful.
Yeah. Oh, I've got how much? $60 million? I'm going to buy a jet?
Yeah, exactly.
Fly first class. Honestly. It's frustrating. It's depressing. What kind of preacher does this?
Well, that's like...
They're fleecing people.
That's like when the automotive industry was in that big financial crisis recently, and they all flew their private jets out to go to those court cases and ask for money. It's like, really? You guys had to all come in your private jets and
just take your sticking private... it in everyone's faces, right?
Like, awful. Oh, yeah, I might as well leave Hawaii now. I'm right. My beautiful mansion.
Like,
on the,
please
on the beach.
Give me money.
Yeah, I need money for. Yeah. Oh yeah, right. I own Ford. They need money for some reason.
Okay, so I saw a stat, crazy stat. So, in 2015, the bonuses for everyone who worked on Wall Street, just the bonuses, not normal salary.
Yeah.
Bonuses in 2015 on Wall Street were more than all the minimum wage workers in America combined.
Oh my God.
Bonuses in 2015.
That's tough.
6 years after, or 7 years after the economy collapse.
Oh.
The bonuses are bigger than all the money that these people making $6 an hour make.
I don't know.
Isn't that crazy?
That's, yeah, I don't know. Who needs that
Is
much
that
money?
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Should we do something about that? That doesn't seem right.
And I don't think it's going to be fixed anytime soon, but.
Well, not when they keep buying private jets with church money.
Church money.
Okay, you're listening to 101.9 CITR Radio, coming to you from UBC on unceded Musqueam territory. This is the Thunderbird Locker Room. I'm sorry about the audio on this one. We don't have any professionals working here, so stuff happens. We're going to play an ad, and then we'll come back with Joe Antilla from the UBC rugby team, and we're going to talk some silliness.
There's only one way that old clunker is going to make you feel good again. Donate it to Bullying Canada. Check this out. Free towing or pickup of your old vehicle, a tax-deductible receipt, and a super easy process. Online at bullyingcanada.ca. Get rid of that old vehicle and feel good about supporting real solutions for change in your community. Donate your old or used vehicle to Bullying Canada today. Full details online at bullyingcanada.ca.
We're back on 101.9 CITR Radio, coming to you from UBC. This is the Thunderbird Locker Room with our guest, Joe Antilla. Okay. Let's talk about... We share a class.
Okay.
Called Astronomy.
Oh, yeah.
310. I was wondering, so we haven't talked about this yet in class, but we will. Do you think there's life in the rest of the universe? Bring it.
Well... To quote the great Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, yes.
It'd be ignorant of us to think that there isn't.
Is that what he said?
Something like that. I don't know.
Well, anything that Neil says.
If my brain functioned like Neil's did, 100% I'd be able to go into a little bit more detail of that there is.
Dude's got a massive brain.
It's just, yeah, for sure. Like, do I? Yeah. Do I think it's where we are? I don't know. There's so many, let's just say, perfect events that had to happen for us to be here, I feel like.
Yeah.
And I feel like, yeah, sure, there could be life out there, but I don't know if it's just like little molecules. And right. It'll still be another million years until they have, let's say, a sun that's bright enough or a moon that's the perfect size to cover up our sun every once in a while. I don't know exactly what needs to happen for life to kick off.
We need obviously, water.
Well, I just mean astronomy-wise, like how far away you have to be from a sun.
Yeah, they've got like a Goldilocks zone.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Where so, there's liquid water.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's tough to factor in like where.
Right,
we fit in relative to where other planets are out there, and I don't even know if we found all of the ones that are in the Goldilocks zone or not yet.
It's way harder to find planets in the sun or than stars, right? Because they're right there; they're bright. Planets are dark. And also, like we learned about Europa in two classes ago, right?
Yeah.
So he said there's liquid water there
because
of the gravitational
pull reshaping, on
the, like reshaping the Earth. So there might be Earth life even there.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, another solar system, there could be life on a moon that we don't even, like, it'd be almost impossible to find it, right?
Yeah. Our prof was saying, didn't the Chinese just build a new, like, signaling device where they're just sending out signals out into space to see if they can contact anyone?
Yeah. Well, we've been doing that for the last
50 years. Yeah, but it's been
50 years. Well, it hasn't been specific, though, right?
But now
I think they're, like, they're building, shooting like, it at a.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just figuring out where they need to shoot, and trying to get other people to respond back. I think they have an ability to respond back. I think at this point, right now, we're just sending a signal out there.
Yeah.
And I think we send messages out on probes and whatever else.
We did. We sent that one, what was it called? And it had like a gold album on it.
Oh, really?
It's got like the Beatles or something? It's got all of our best music and stuff like that.
That's cool.
I think it's called... come on, Voyager. That's what it is. Voyager 2.
Yeah.
Right? And they've got a bunch of messages written in like cryptic. Not cryptic, but like a sort of a universal language. Like, so if you didn't know English, you'd be able to see figure out what it means. Like, like math, because math is universal.
Yeah.
Right? So they sent messages in math.
Okay.
And like chemistry. So like we know about. So I think they drew like the atom with the electrons around it.
Okay.
Like we figured this shit out.
Yeah.
Right? And then they have the music, so we like a culture, like this is our culture.
To them, it provides an outline of how stupid we are.
Yeah, basically much. Oh, these people are so dumb.
Yeah.
Like, well, I think they'd figure that out from the thing that we sent, that this metal piece of junk, right?
Yeah.
They're probably like, what is this? What is this, 2,000 years ago?
Yeah, exactly. God, that was so 1920.
Yeah, that's, or whatever year they're in. I mean... I'm pretty confident that there's got to be something, even if it's not like conscious of itself, like maybe a little bug or some kind of bacteria or something, right?
That's what I'm thinking too, for sure.
Yeah, because I listened to a podcast. They were so about like the universal language thing. They're trying to figure out how to signal the people 10,000 years from now that there was, this is where we buried our, my brain's not working.
Buried your,
the like refuse from our nuclear reactors.
Oh, okay.
What do you call that? Not refuse. What's a better word? Whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. So we have to bury those rods when they're done.
Yeah. Right?
And they're still reactive. So they're trying to figure out what kind of signs we can do that would tell them to stay away 10,000 years from now, so they don't go in there and get radiated, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, should we put like a skull and crossbones? But we don't even know if they're going to look like that
in
10,000 years. And they're like, oh, maybe we'll make scary landscape, like put X's and big hills and like don't cliffs and shit like that. And then like they couldn't. They had all this tons of smart people working on it, and then they basically said, like, there's no way.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you could figure out a way to tell someone 10,000 years from now that they can't go here.
Yeah.
You know? So they just, like, we just got to hide it.
Yeah.
Hide it and hope they don't find it, right?
Dump it in the ocean like everybody else does.
Yeah. Well, we don't want fish with 12 eyes, I don't think.
No, but that has happened.
The Japanese... That's what they were doing with the water. Have you seen what they did with the water in Fukushima?
No.
They just put it in giant tanks.
Really?
Because you know they're flushing it to cool the reactor.
Yeah.
After they flush the seawater through, they don't know what to do with it because it's all irradiated, so they're just putting it in giant tanks. I'll show you. It's crazy. Because at the start, they were just flushing it into the ocean because they had to.
Yeah.
But then once they got these big tanks in there, they're just
dumping it into
these tanks. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, it was a big issue on our, even our BC coast, too, of all that radiation.
Yeah, we got irradiated from them.
Yeah, it got picked up on our coast, so.
Look at that.
It's a little bit frustrating. Holy cow.
Look at how much water that is. And that's got to be there forever. What are they going to do with it?
Yeah, that's true.
What are you going to do with that water?
Dump it in the ocean slowly, which is probably.
What are you going to do with that?
Well, what's going to happen is those things are going to leak and yeah, they're whatever gonna else, and eventually it's all going to disappear.
Oh, man.
Just like the time will keep marching on.
Like, this is crazy.
That is crazy. That's ridiculous. Why do you need to hold seawater?
Come up with a better plan, you know?
Well, what do you do, right?
Those guys were pretty brave, though, the ones that went in.
Yeah.
To fix it, all those old people,
mm-hmm.
like the 67-year-olds that volunteered.
Yeah.
That's pretty badass. I definitely wouldn't do that.
That's their culture, though, right? Like, that's
you think so? You think that's what it is?
I think that's culturally. Just, I feel like they're the kind of people that would do something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's best for their country.
Yeah. You know, they had to... So there was lots of plane crashes happening from Japanese companies,
mm-hmm.
and they couldn't figure out why the rate was so much higher.
Yeah.
And then they realized that it was cultural, that the co-pilots weren't telling the pilots that they were doing something wrong, because oh, you're really? Supposed to respect your elders.
Yeah, for sure.
So they wouldn't challenge something that even if they're heading straight at a mountain, they wouldn't say yeah. anything.
Because
they're like, oh, this guy knows what he's doing. He's my elder. And then they just fly right into it. That's so they had crazy. To put it in the training of co-pilots. Like, if he's doing something wrong, you tell him he's doing something wrong.
Okay.
Like,
problems we don't have over here.
Yeah. Well, no respect for the elders over here.
Yeah, that's true.
Show me some respect. Okay, so speaking of Fukushima and the earthquake, they just had one today.
Really?
Yeah. 7.3, I think.
Oh, there's a tsunami thing going on.
Yeah, they got tsunami. I think it was a 2-meter wave they're expecting. Okay. I'm sure it wasn't as bad as the last one. That was insane, those
yeah.
waves.
Yeah. My grandfather was out in a tsunami.
He was fishing?
So they were fishing and there's tsunami warning. So what they tell you is just to go out in the deep water and then it's just another wave. Like, he was just like...
When you're out there, ripples. It just kind of rolls over.
Yeah, like
the whole ocean.
Well, nothing has happened until it gets close, right? Until it gets close to land. That's when it turns into things, like bad things are going to happen.
Yeah, the whole ocean swells.
Yeah, so he was just kind of out in the middle of the ocean. It was just like, whatever.
So there's lots of fish in your family. I guess you're...
Third generation fisherman here.
What did you fish?
A couple things, actually. We start off at the... Basically, as soon as the school year is over, we go prawn fishing. So I do that for a month and a half, and then once prawn fishing's over, we go halibut fishing and salmon trolling.
Okay, so the prawns, is that traps
yes.
for prawns?
Yes, we use traps for prawns.
Okay, so how do you lay those? Is it, because was it commercial?
Yeah.
So you have big lines full of pots?
So we long line, and then you just basically snap on a trap every, let's say, 25 feet.
Right.
Yeah, and so you have 50 traps on each line, and you'll set, depending on the amount of licenses you have, you can either have a single license, which is 300 traps you can put in the water.
At a time or per day?
Or a stacker, which is two licenses, and you can put 500 in the water. So, yeah, every day you lift all 500 of them up and put them right. back in the water.
Okay.
So you're allowed to fish from 7 to 7, but you're not allowed to haul them twice. So you're allowed to... haul them up in the morning or whenever you haul them up and set them, but right. you have to do all of that within the time frame of 7 to 7.
Oh, okay.
It and used to be like sunrise to sunset, and that's in the middle of summer, right?
So yeah.
you had a quite a few more hours to kind of work with, but yeah. now they've restricted it down to 7 to 7.
I think that's probably for the best.
Yeah, the industries they get hammered pretty hard, so it's kind of a good way to keep overfishing. Out of the business.
Yeah, at least.
Because it happens a lot.
Yeah,
I and bet. When I'm telling you about you're only allowed to fish like pick up your traps once a day. A lot of people when prawn fishing first started out would haul their gear all day, all night, and there was no really restrictions on it, and it really, really took a toll on the industry.
Like just took all the prawns out of the water,
yeah,
basically.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah.
And then exactly. You said what, halibut?
Yes.
How are you fishing for those?
You longline those too, but instead of snapping traps on the line, you snap hooks.
What, 1,000 meters or something?
So they're separate into a skate. Okay. Is a kilometer of long line.
1,000 meters.
Let's say. So, yeah.
I nailed it.
So, yeah, exactly. So we'll set, like, four strings at five skates. So, yeah, you got, like...
So what's four? What's
you have, like, 20 strings? Kilometers of string laying out there. And each string, you'll probably have... Upwards of 1,500 hooks on each of them.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So you have the big long one. That's the kilometer-long one. What's that one called again?
Well, you just call it a skate.
Okay. And a skate is split into four.
Yeah, one skate is a kilometer of line.
Oh,
so
okay.
And you have this huge drum that has, like, I don't know, like 50 skates on it.
Oh.
And so you'll just take it off and you just roll it off of this huge drum and it'll go in the ocean and then you just snap hooks onto it really quickly.
Oh, okay.
And so your hooks will be baited with like octopus, salmon, squid, whatever you use.
So you pre-bait them.
Yeah, you pre-bait them.
While you're hooking them onto the...
Yeah, and then you just snap them on the line and then you wait a couple hours and you just go back out there and lift them all back up and
how many fish
see
do
what
you
get.
How many do you usually catch?
It's usually by pounds, right? Like you'll catch like it, when I first started halibut fishing, it was not as good as it is now
because they're overfishing.
Yeah, so they put a lot of restrictions on the industry, and like you used to be able to go out and catch as much as you wanted. It was all quotaed, of course.
Yeah.
But if you owned a lot of quota, you could go fish that. So if you owned 1,000,000 pounds of quota, you could go fish 1,000,000 pounds of quota.
Right.
But it's not like that anymore. Like, you're only allowed on one boat. Like, so per ticket of a boat, you're allowed to fish. I think it's like 70,000 pounds now. Might be a bit more than that. I'm
right.
Not 100% sure. I haven't halibut fished in a few years. But, yeah, so only like and so now those huge boats that used to fish like hundreds of thousands of pounds of halibut every year can only fish 70,000 pounds.
Right.
So now there's a lot more halibut in the water, and you just put lines in the water, and those things just come up like crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a lot
is
of
it
fun.
Is it as cool as Deadliest Catch? Does it look like that? Some days maybe.
Well, see, I have a bit of a problem with Deadliest Beak, and anytime they ever show you what the sea looks like, of course it's like, holy cow, this is the scariest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah.
But if you actually watch them while they're working, you can see in the background it's flat calm every day.
So they're not working in the...
They don't go out in that kind of weather. Like, you're risking your life when you're going out in that kind of weather.
They just sit in the cabin?
Yeah, like, and all they do is they have these huge traps...
The pots for crabs.
So they pick up one pot at a time. They pull this huge trap up to the surface of the water. They put a hook onto it. A hydraulic hook lifts it up for them, drops it on a table. The only physically hard thing they have to do is open the little thing up to, like, get in there, lift up a crab.
And measure it.
And put little more fishes in there. And then a table that has a hydraulic ram on it to lift it up shoots it back in the water. That's all they have to
no,
do.
No, they have to chuck the hook to grab a pot.
Okay, anyways.
That's a big part of the scene. Like, the new guy, and he's got to throw the hook to grab the pot in the water.
Yeah, the whole greenhorn thing doesn't really happen, but... like when we fish, like the halibut get up to like 120 pounds, and you have to
really?
Lift that out of the water onto the deck and off the deck onto a table and then dress them, and you're constantly lifting up
120 pounds.
That's huge, right?
Yeah.
But like on average, you're pretty much catching 40 pounders every day.
Holy crap!
And the same with like spring trolling, and like the prawn traps that we use are quite heavy too.
Yeah.
But we have to physically lift them up.
You don't have a machine.
I don't have this hydraulic thing lifting it all up. Like what those guys do is not very hard, and they're on huge boats too. Those are like 80-foot boats.
What size your boat?
We all fish on like 40, 50 footers.
Okay.
The boat I fished on is called the Gladiator, and it's 56 feet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Honestly, I can't process feet in my head.
No, you just have to see the boat to be able
right.
to.
I saw the, you know those, what are they called? The the environmental boat that that fights the whalers.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
I can't remember what they're called, but I saw them in New Zealand docked.
Oh, really?
And they're doing tours of their boat. It was pretty cool.
That is cool.
They've got like a big mouth painted on the front, and they got
the
little
shark,
and they got big speedboats on the front that they drop off the sides to go attack the boats.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's pretty cool. Those guys are crazy, though.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be able to do something like that. That is insane.
Well, like, you're in international waters. Like,
yeah, anything could happen.
Stuff could go down.
Well, it's like piracy's going on, right? And then you watch those movies, and the U.S. Navy's got snipers. Well, what's that movie with Tom Hanks?
Oh, The Captain or something like that. Yeah,
whatever.
Captain?
Yeah, sure.
Is it that?
And they have, like, snipers, like, taking guys' heads off and...
Yeah, well, do you know the story behind, like, why they're doing that, the piracy, those poor Africans?
Well, I'm assuming to...
Obviously to get money.
Yeah.
But, like, how it happened, because that strait, I think it is the Red Sea, yeah. So a lot of ships go through there, right?
Yes.
Oil and...
Oh, yeah, so
stuff,
yes,
right?
It is the Red Sea.
So they basically wrecked that sea with all the ships going through,
yeah,
all the pollution that got in the water. So those are actually fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys that are robbing those or catching those boats,
yeah,
those are former fishermen.
Oh,
but
they got
screwed over by all this shipping that went through, and it devastated all the fish.
Well, that's brutal.
So they got nothing to do.
That's awful.
So they found out they can hijack boats.
Yeah,
like.
And make money doing that.
You never hear that side of the story.
No,
yet, right?
You don't.
All you hear is all these crazy black people taking over boats, right?
These crazy
and they're on drugs. They're on cat, like that crazy drug they said they're on.
Yeah.
But you never hear the part of
you never hear
all
that,
these boats.
Yeah, that side of the story.
What was that movie called? Boat.
Captain Phillips.
Yes, nailed it.
Phillips.
Captain Phillips. God, he looks pretty old now.
Well, maybe Captain Phillips is an old guy.
He is pretty old, I guess.
Portray an old character.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks is ageless. That guy could do any role at any time.
You think so?
He's the man.
He could be like a football player now?
Anybody that pulls off Forrest Gump.
You can pull off anything.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. That's actually a great point. I mean, Forrest Gump's a hard thing to do. Okay, I think we're going to wrap up, Joe. Thanks for coming on. Do you have Instagram, Twitter?
JAntilla20.
Do you tweet?
No, I don't.
You don't tweet?
I can't get around to doing that. That's just too much for me.
Okay, well, if you want to follow me, I am ChaseKelleher1 on Twitter, because there is another Chase Kelleher for some reason.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of JAntillas out there, so I had to do the 20th one.
Oh, that sucks.
No, I'm just kidding. I did 20 because it's my number.
And then Instagram, I got it, and it's just Chase Kelleher. That's KELLIHER. Joe, you're going to play us out. What song do you want here?
Ooh. I think I said it earlier. A little Stairway to Heaven would be
nice.
You
want Stairway to Heaven, or do you want a Nickelback song?
Oh, that's tough.
I could do that for you. I mean, I'm not going to be happy about it, but I could do that for you.
Let's stick to the classics.
Stairway to Heaven?
That's right.
Nice. Total opposite song of what what we played in with. But
yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's a long song. It's 8 minutes?
Oh, you don't? Oh, okay. We can get a shorter version.
No. I don't have to play the whole thing. I'm just saying. I didn't know it was an 8-minute song.
Just click halfway right away, and we'll be all right with that.
Okay. This is Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven. Thank you, Joe, for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
We are out. Thank you.
There's a sign on the wall, but she wants to be sure. Cause you know sometimes words have to mean. In a tree by the brook, there's a songbird who sings. Sometimes